You just never know sometimes. I'm going to tell you, you just never know. So you've heard the old thing about chicken and egg. What came first, the chicken or the egg? Does it matter? Who cares? Is it a rhetorical question? But speaking of rhetorical questions, it brings us to this Sunday's rhetorical question. Heart or treasure? Which comes first? Heart or treasure? Treasure or heart? Does it matter? Are the two inseparable? For Jesus, he sees it this way. Now, right after talking about worrying and inviting us, and this chapter, this 12th chapter of Luke, is a beautiful chapter. Right after talking about worrying, inviting us to ponder the lilies of the field and the birds of the air, he says, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Hearts and treasure. Treasure and hearts. They just go together. So let me push you with two stories about hearts and treasure. At first, I could see nothing, but presently, as my eyes grew accustomed to the light, details of the room within emerged slowly from the midst. Strange animals, statues, and gold, everywhere the glint of gold. And with those words, British archaeologist Howard Carter described his discovery of King Tut's tomb in 1922. What was it he found? The small underground tomb, which had been untouched since the 14th century BCE. Two or three cramped, low-ceilinged rooms, chock full of treasure. They had not been looted, which was rare. Everything in the tomb seemed to be gold. Solid gold, gold embossed, gold sheathed, gold inlaid. The young pharaoh's coffin alone weighed 243 pounds. Not far away were richly decorated jars containing his mummified organs. Piled haphazardly in an outer room was a collection of household items, tables, chairs, headrests, vases, even a chariot. The tomb contained everything a well-equipped young pharaoh might need in the afterlife. In the great drama of history, King Tut was really just a walk-on part. He was one of the extras. He assumed the throne at 9 and was dead by 18. Compared to the great pharaohs of Egypt, who ruled for 40 or 50 years and were buried in those gigantic pyramids, King Tut was modest. Yet to most minds, right, King Tut is the most famous of the pharaohs because of all of that gold of his. Now that's living, some might say, but it isn't living at all. His hoard was sealed up underground for 3,300 years, and its owner along with it. Now, where do you suppose Tut's heart was? It was, believe it or not, sealed in a jar, in a gold jar. He literally took his heart and treasure, sort of, but not really, with him. It was pretty obvious where he considered his heart and his treasure to be. And you know, as an aside, I'm sorry, folks, I'm going to ruin this for you, but I can't say King Tut without thinking, yes, you know who, Steve Martin, Saturday Night Live. Now it's stuck in your head. I'm sorry. But about the other story about treasure. Polish-born American rabbi and writer Isaac Bashevis Singer wrote a short story called The Son from America. Now, in it, the son had been gone from his tiny village in Poland for 40 years, and he had made a great fortune in America. And he returns home to visit his family in the old country. And when he arrives in the tiny village he came from, he notices that nothing has changed in the 40 years since he's been gone. And when he asks his father what he's done with all of the money that he has sent him from America each and every month, the father shows him all of the money in an old boot. And the son says, Father, this is a treasure. Why did you not spend it? And the father says, on what? Thank God we have everything we need. And the son asks question after question, but the answer is always the same. They lack for nothing. The garden, the cow, the goat, the chickens, they give them everything they need. The son spends the next day observing the poverty of the townsfolk, and he thinks of the suitcase full of gifts that he's brought to give to them and bring wealth to everyone in the village. And he realizes they need nothing. They truly have everything. Their hearts are full of the treasure of living, even if their wallets appear empty to him. Now, how many of us are like the son in that story? Or maybe even like King Tut? We've made our fortune and we're spending it, building what we think is the good life, right? Is that not the motto of our, it's great to be in Nebraska, because that's our motto, the good life, isn't it? And then at some point we discover that it's never going to be enough, right? That our hearts are not full because we've been saving up the wrong kind of treasure. And that's what Jesus is talking about when he says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, he was just being diplomatic, Jesus was, when he asked us to consider what things we put value in and where our hearts are, just like I was with the kids. Scripture is not always so nice and diplomatic about it. God, through the prophet Isaiah, puts it this way. Hear Isaiah's words, or hear God's words through Isaiah. Stop bringing meaningless offerings. Your incense is detestable to me. New moon Sabbaths and convocations, I cannot bear your worthless assemblies. Your new moon feasts and your appointed festivals, I hate with all my being. They've become a burden to me. I'm weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands in prayer, I hide my eyes from you. Even when you offer many prayers, I am not listening. Your hands are full of blood. Wash and make yourselves clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Defend the oppressed. Take up the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow. That's God speaking to Israel through the prophet Isaiah. Now, you scholars from through the Bible may note that Israel is doing exactly what the law commanded them to, right? You all suffered through Leviticus. Are they not keeping all of the festivals that God commands them? Bringing those offerings, you know, those countless offerings when you start adding them up, holding those festivals, but they forgot one thing, one little thing. But it was the important thing. They thought that keeping the law and its regulations was the main thing, but forgot the main thing was loving God by loving each other. Their treasure and their hearts were miles apart, in two separate jars, like King Tut's, if you will. And when heart and treasure don't jive, then nothing is going to be right in our lives. They forgot that their treasure was found in loving and serving God by loving and serving each other, not by following a checklist of duties and obligations. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be always. For where your heart is, you can never get enough of your treasure. Never. If money is your treasure, you're never going to be rich enough. And if power is your treasure, you will never be powerful enough. If fame is your treasure, you will never be famous enough. If love is your treasure, you will never be loved well enough. But if loving and serving Jesus is your treasure, well, that's a different story. If loving and serving Jesus is your treasure, you will gladly and joyfully strive to do better, not out of obligation, but out of love. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So here's the question for you this morning. What is it that you're striving for and working for in your life? What is it in your life right now that's important to you? That's where your treasure is, I bet. But is your heart in it? So the question, where is your heart this morning? And is your heart and treasure aligned? Amen.